IGTV.
Okay, the first order of business today is I want to show you a chart that Rob Weil from Canada sent me. This is a chart that I made in 2009, and this is for those of you who watched yesterday's show, and maybe you heard for the first time that the beasts of Daniel chapter 7 are religions. And I mean, this is the key, I believe, to end time prophecy. And anybody who thinks that the beasts or the animals of Daniel chapter 7 is merely a repeat of Nebuchadnezzar's image of Daniel chapter 2, well, there's just no help for these people. It's not a repeat. It's a new revelation. But I forgot about this. I made a chart, and I'm going to link it down here. This is the chart right here. It's on Daniel chapter 7, and you see a map of the world, and I demarcate on this map where the different religions live. And the introduction here says, in Daniel 7:23, the Western monstrous, that is the Christian religion, devours the other religions as she rules the world. This one world religio-political confederation answers to the fourth world kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar's vision. That is, yes, it is the fourth world kingdom, that is the legs of iron of Daniel chapter 2, but this is a separate revelation. It is the kingdom that God will smash. Woohoo! Can't wait for that. To prepare the earth for Christ's reign. And on this helpful chart, again, it is linked down below. Hit the More tab and you will see it. I lay out the description in Daniel chapter 7 of each of these beasts, and I show you how these descriptions answer the four major religions on the earth. And there are only four major religions. Everything else is an offshoot. I'll just mention this before getting to the true topic of today's show, is that Buddhism and Hinduism, I call, if you notice at the bottom of this chart, I call them far out religions. In other words, they're detached from divine revelation, and they are weaker, obviously. Hinduism, the Hindus aren't going to take over the world anytime soon, and neither will the Buddhists. They're weaker than the Western religions. Actually, they're more humane than the Western religions. The Western religions, that is Islam and Christianity, are dangerous because they are falsifications of divine revelation. Thus, they're more deceptive. They are morally lower than the other religions, though they are stronger. This is a strange paradox, that they're morally lower, that is, they are, well, I can't say it better than morally lower, but they're stronger because they have weapons. They're immoral, but they're powerful. So anyway, this chart is going to be really helpful to anyone, but especially those who heard this truth yesterday for the first time. The chart is called The Beasts of Daniel. Check it out, linked below. Keep it for your very own. Amaze your friends and your soon-to-be ex-friends. Now, on the video 2 days ago, Greg Davis made a great comment. Greg Davis is in the habit of making great comments, but this is on MZTV 1623. The title of that video was, Not Even Earth's Most Pristine Pleasures Will Stay the Tribulation. Kind of a long title, sorry about that, but you know, sometimes you have to do it. This is what Greg Davis comments. When you talked about the apostles asking about the kingdom, this is in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. I'm going to go there. The first question that entered my mind while learning of the two evangels, when I read Acts 1, 6. Oh, let's go ahead and read. Yeah, let's go ahead and read Acts 1, 6. Then we'll get back to Greg's question here. This is the question. Jesus is on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and his disciples ask him, Lord, art thou at this? They didn't say, art thou. I wish the Concordant would not retain King James language. I'm just going to rephrase this. Lord, are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? That was a great question. Okay, I'm going to comment on that question, but let's read Greg's comment first. Lord, are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? Greg says, the first question that entered my mind while learning of the two evangelists was when I read Acts 1:6. Why would they ask that question if they knew that God was going to the Gentiles with a message of grace? The answer, they didn't know. This is shocking. They had no clue that there was going to be a new gospel that would go to the Gentiles. Greg goes on, if they knew, their question would have been, should we go to the Gentile nations and tell them of their salvation because of your death and resurrection? But that wasn't their question. Their whole passion, they lived and breathed for this, was that Christ would be restoring the kingdom. That is, the legendary, the fabled, the longed for, the hoped for, the promised 1,000-year kingdom. Are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? The kingdom promised to Abraham way back in Genesis. Through you and your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. The millennium, the 1,000 years, that was all an Israelite knew about or cared about. They had no other revelation. No one had any other revelation. Greg says, this was a game changer for me. This is when the light bulb over my head finally lit up. They had no idea that Peter, James, John, the disciples who walked with the Lord for 3.5 years, they had no idea that God was going to the Gentiles with a different gospel. And by extension, would be putting the Israel gospel on hold. Can you imagine what would have happened if Jesus had answered the question? I'm going to tell you what Jesus did say. But imagine him saying this. Am I at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? No. The kingdom you're hoping for, which for all intent and purposes should be coming now because here I am. I became the ultimate sacrifice for Israel, the fulfillment of all the types, the Lamb of God. And you would think, gentlemen, I can understand you thinking that I would be at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel. But my father and I were putting the kingdom on hold for at least 2,000 years. Don't let that discourage you. Just keep going on and herald the kingdom. Don't let that discourage you. That would have been devastating news to these men. His answer? Not yours is it to know times or eras which the Father placed in his own jurisdiction. Oh boy, talk about playing it close to the vest. It's not yours to know the times or eras. Very vague. Not a great answer from their perspective, I wouldn't think. He goes on to say to them in verse 8, but you shall be obtaining power at the coming of the Holy Spirit on you. Okay, I'm liking this better. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in entire Judea and Samaria, as far as the limits of the earth. As far as the limits of that earth, Judea and Samaria. But that was so limited that they had no idea how limited that testimony would be at the time. So I picture the disciples after the Lord then disappears from sight, goes up to heaven. The disciples go back into town to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Peter would say to John, what'd you think of that answer? John would say, oh, you mean when we asked him if he's restoring the kingdom to Israel, and he said, it's not yours to know the times or the seasons? He just said, yeah, what do you think about that? John would say, I didn't like it. Peter would say, yeah, I didn't like it either. Rub me the wrong way. There's something up with this. And yet, we're told to wait for the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be witnesses. Okay, well, that's positive. Yeah, but why didn't he just say yes? That would have been the right answer, Peter. Yes, it would have been the right answer. Are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? I wish he'd have said yes. And then Peter would say, yeah, and then I would ask him, what time exactly? Of course, Peter would say that. Like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, the day after tomorrow, today at 4, tomorrow. Peter is just that kind of guy. Are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? Jesus. Yes, Peter. What time exactly? Nobody knew. Instead of disappointing them suddenly and catastrophically, because there's no way they could testify. Remember, the day of Pentecost is coming up, and there's no way that these men could have testified with power on the day of Pentecost to repent, turn back from your sins, repent of crucifying your Messiah, and the times of refreshing will come on you. See, he left it vague. Our Lord left it very vague, but there's no way they could have done that if the Lord had told them, no, it's not going to come for 2,000 years. They would have walked away from the Mount of Olives and said, I'm paraphrasing, but probably something very close to this, especially Peter. Well, screw it then. Screw it then. What? They would have been ticked off. I would have been ticked off to have it that near. Near is the kingdom. Everybody said it. John the Baptist said it. Jesus said it. Near is the kingdom. Near is the kingdom. And it was. But there was a secret administration that no one knew about. If the kingdom had come then, that where would you and I be? Nowhere. Nowhere. If the kingdom had come then, there would be no place for us. Speaking relatively now, of course, but would we even be born? You see what I'm getting at here. And not even Saul on the road to Damascus to destroy the ecclesia of Jesus Christ before Jesus Christ apprehended him, not even he at that time knew. But look what he says in Ephesians 3, verse 8. To me, less than the least of all saints, was granted this grace to bring the evangel of the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations. And there's the evangel that Peter, James, John, and the rest knew absolutely nothing about, as Greg says. They didn't understand it. They didn't know anything about it, or else their question would have been different. And Paul says to bring the evangel the untraceable riches of Christ. The King James says unsearchable, but that is a poor translation, because you can search them. We're searching it now. It's what Paul was announcing was a secret that was hidden from the eons in God. We're going to talk about the eons in a second. It was hidden from the eons in God. It could not be traced in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, the untraceable riches of Christ. Christ announced many treasures when he was on earth. And of course, the prophets in the Hebrew Scriptures announced many treasures and blessings, as did David. But the riches of Christ, that is the fullness of the glories of Christ and the fullness of his plan for all of humanity and for the universe at large. These riches were untraceable. This is why you have to feel sorry for Paul, because Paul didn't have any scriptures to back him up on this. Thank God he had a proto-evangel in Abraham, where Abraham was blessed by faith, so Paul could tap into Abraham's experience of believing God and God accounting him righteous because of his faith after God told him he would be the father of many nations. Paul was thankful for that. At least he had some recourse for his doctrine of justification by faith. But this, that Christ, the secret of Christ, which Paul discloses elsewhere, that Christ is not only the Lamb of God come to save Israel, but he is the Savior of the entire universe. He's the firstborn of all creation. Israel didn't know that. And all creation, this is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, and all creation will be conciliated to God through him. Israel didn't know that. This was the secret of Christ, his universal sovereignty, his universal sway, that everything came out of him. After it came out of God, it came through Christ, out of God through Christ, and everything comes back to God through Christ. That's the secret of Christ. This was absolutely untraceable in the Hebrew scriptures. But listen to this, Paul. To me, less than the least of all the saints was granted this grace, to bring the evangel of the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations, verse 9, and to enlighten all as to what is the administration of the secret, that is the outworking of it, which has been concealed, I just quoted that earlier, which has been concealed from the eons in God who creates all through Christ, I added that, through Christ, that now may be made known to the sovereignties and the authorities among the celestials through the ecclesia, the multifarious wisdom of God, in accord with the purpose of the eons, which he makes in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, the apostles to Jesus, are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? Jesus to the apostles, no. Relatively shortly, I'm going to be calling a Pharisee who is out to kill you guys, all of you. His goal is to put your heads, all of you, on his wall at home. I'm going to call this man and unveil to him a secret gospel that is going to go primarily to the nations, that's going to completely do away with Israel superiority, Israel priority, and it's going to give heathen a prior expectation in Christ before yours, and will announce to them a celestial destiny. Yours is terrestrial, I know, which will make these dogs and pigs your rulers, basically, because, well, they are part of my body. That's why, my friends, I'm putting your gospel on hold for a couple thousand years. You're going to fail. Don't let that bother you, though. Still want you to proclaim the circumcision evangel with vim and vigor. And I'm going to call out a new people. But don't worry, because after 2,000 years, I'm going to finish up calling this ragtag fugitive fleet to be a part of my body. And then we'll get back to you guys. But we're going to be dead by... Oh, yeah, you'll be well dead by that time. Oh, great. Great. No, much better answer, not yours, to know the times and the seasons. So I'll finish with this in Hebrews. You talk about the relative viewpoint. I mean, this is as relative as it gets. That is dealing with the situation at hand and not looking at the big picture that God is controlling everything. I'm in Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1. Faith is an assumption of what is being expected, a conviction concerning matters which are not being observed. For in this the elders were testified to. Verse 3. You ready for this? This is as relative as it gets. By faith, and Paul's revealing a secret here. He doesn't call it a secret in the context, but this is a wild, wild passage. By faith, we are apprehending the eons to adjust to a declaration of God. What? We are apprehending the eons to adjust to a declaration of God. This is the answer that Jesus could not give to his disciples on the Mount of Olives the day he was taken into heaven, and he hasn't been seen since. Have you ever edited video and you want to put a new video in between an existing video, so you cut the video, let's say, in the middle, and then you adjust it. You pull the second half of the video way out here into the future of the track, and then you insert another video in between. A more primitive example would be taking books out of a bookcase and adding... No, just taking a new set of encyclopedias, let's say, stretching out your bookends, and putting a set of encyclopedias in between your books. This is exactly what God did with the eons. He adjusted the eons. Talk about relative. The eons were adjusted because, relatively speaking, the kingdom would have come in the first century. The millennium would have come had Israel accepted her Messiah. And that was the expected, outcome when our Lord came to the earth. But Paul says we are apprehending the eons to adjust. How do you adjust the eons? The eons are the eons. Exactly. That's absolute, but this is relative. So we're taking the Aeonian times and we're making a cut in the frame between Acts and Hebrews, or if you like, between John and James, the book of John, the book of James, and we're pushing them. I should say we're pushing the books of James onward, out, and we're bringing 13 books of a completely different story, a completely different expectation, a completely different message, and we're inserting these books, Paul's books, into the Israel account. But not only are we doing that, but we're adjusting the eons. In other words, the eons are going to be much longer now. That's why you see how relative this is, because we know the eons are as long as God made them. But looking at it on the stage, the eons are going to be a lot longer now, guys. If the video is going to be put off here, we have to stretch the time too. We have to not only add this new video, but we have to add the time it takes for that video to run. And so the eons are adjusting to a declaration of God. What's declaration of God? I just read it in Ephesians. To me, less than the least of all the saints was granted this grace to bring the evangel of the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations. That's the declaration of God. To enlighten all as to what is the administration of the secret. The declaration of God was given to Paul. And the eons had to adjust to that declaration of God. And they did. And what I'm telling you now would blow the minds of Peter, James, and John and the rest of the apostles. What I'm saying now, if they were to listen to this in the first century, they'd go out for a drink big time. They'd be like, I don't know what the hell that guy was talking about. But that's insanity. That's insanity. The eons adjust to a declaration of God. And I don't want any part of this. And they don't. And I feel sorry for those guys that they died having not received the promises. And that's why Paul writes Hebrews to those who would die having not received the promises. It was a disappointing time for the people of the kingdom, for the people of the promise, for Israel. I would not want to be an Israelite during this era. They saw the kingdom draw near and they saw it go away. Just like the Israelites in the wilderness, they were an afternoon's walk away from the promised land and they were forced to wander for 40 years. The same thing's happening here. I feel sorry for these people. Sucks to be them, but we're not them. We are not them. We're living at the tail end of this, of these adjusted eons. So be thankful that you're you, and be thankful that you're living in this glorious time, really, to be alive. I know we complain, but we need to look at the big picture and see that we are beautifully situated to have received this message, to be able to look back in history and see, okay, how the eons were adjusted, relatively speaking, to a declaration of God, why the kingdom had to be set aside, all the promises God makes that it will be attended to once the body of Christ leaves the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the whole picture, and for that, we ought to be extremely thankful.